bite. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Bulaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, which means you can ask any questions you want of him. He can handle any question. Never had a question yet that he refused to answer. 1-800-990-3776. Or you can go to YouTube, which so many people do now. Subscribe on YouTube. Whenever or wherever you're listening, just know we're live on YouTube. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, comment along with us, and also find out when the Brewers have an evening home game, whether the dome is open or closed. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on your YouTube and subscribe today. Joining me now is Brian Bulaga. Brian, good afternoon.
How are we doing?
Depends. If you know the most important question in the world of sports in the state of Wisconsin?
I don't.
Just tells me work needs to be done.
Yep.
Everybody in the state of Wisconsin needs to know one thing and one thing more than anything else. And what would that be, Brian Bulaga? What would you think? What would you say of all the things that sports fans in Wisconsin need to know? What would be number one? That the old man's playing quarterback again?
Well, I mean, they
didn't surprise you.
No, did not surprise me. Did not surprise me the way he played last year.
Right.
So
I can tell everyone what's going to end his career, because it ends the career of almost every old player.
And that's what?
Injury.
Okay.
If he doesn't get hurt, he can play till 45.
Yeah, he could.
But if I'm playing against him, I don't state so publicly, but privately, we're going to hurt him. We're going to hurt him. We're going to scare him. We're going to hurt him. We're going to blitz. I don't care how quickly he releases the ball. He's still going to get hit a few times. And when he gets hit a few times, that's going to shorten his career. Unless I really don't mind him playing. That's smart. Old people get hurt. Risk him making some big passes, getting some touchdowns. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think defensive coordinators are certainly going to want to make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket. They're going to want to put hits on him and things like that, because they know right now at this point in his career, he doesn't move like he did back in 2014 and things like that, and get out of the pocket and just kill defenses if they do bring pressure, and he can avoid pressure like that and make you pay when he escapes the pocket. So they understand that he's more of a stationary target at this point. And yeah, I mean, his release time and how quickly he's gotten rid of the ball showing last year is remarkable. But they're going to gamble on that to take hits on him and try to rattle him early in the game. And do those things. So, no, I mean, I think that's probably the most common plan for D coordinators when they play him at this, well, early on in the game. Now, if they get burnt by it a bunch and he tears them up, they're going to have to adjust to that. But I would imagine that's probably the idea, because, yeah, I mean, he's 42, maybe 43 this year, I think. You only take so many of those hits. Those things don't feel good. Coming from defensive ends that weigh 280 pounds or D tackles that weigh 310 pounds and they're running full steam at you and you're taking rib shots and things like that. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel good. So hopefully now it's up to Mike and Campy and those guys to keep him upright and safe and put good protection plans around him on a weekly basis to make sure that he stays upright and deliver strikes. And obviously their offensive line's an issue. We all know it. Everyone knows it. They don't have the most experienced or best offensive line in the NFL. So that's going to be a thing to watch this year of how they're able to protect him and keep him upright so that he can play the full 18 games.
Or 18 weeks.
Yeah, sorry.
I was a little surprised they didn't do the same with Brady. Fine, I'm willing to get beat a few times. They can hit some touchdowns, but I don't know how late I can be and get away with hitting him. I don't care how quickly he releases the ball, but
here's the thing. He's a hard guy to rattle, right? He's very hard to rattle to begin with. So you do little late things like that and try to push him or give him late little shots after the ball's been gone, probably going to get flagged. But at the same time, you're probably going to piss him off too.
Yeah, I don't. I'm happy with that. I'm not trying to rattle him. I understand everything you said. Yeah, I don't care. I have only one goal. We want to get, I don't know, 5 good hits, 10 good hits on you in the game, especially early in the season, because this isn't just about this game. This is about the entire season.
Yeah, it's the full slate.
Yeah.
And you know,
may be going too far. I might need a governor on this, but I'm not wanting guys to get late hits, but I'm my number one defense. It's not how many points we give up. It's how many. What do I have to do to get the most legitimate hits on him?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you have to weigh out as a D coordinator with a quarterback that is very cerebral.
Yeah.
How can we bring this pressure and not get absolutely cooked, but have it be effective, disguise it properly, and get the hits you want on him? And now that he's back with McCarthy in that offense, it's like he knows it like the back of his hand. He knows every single protection adjustment, where his hot reads are, where the running back should be, what the linemen are doing. Like, obviously, last year he learned the offense with Pittsburgh, but it was a one-year offense. He went in there and did what he needed to do, and obviously he learned it, and he was probably very good at it. But this offense, he's mastered. So he knows all. He knows everything. He knows how to get in and out of every single protection and change everything. And then the looks that he'll see, he knows how to manipulate the defenses with the route tree and things like that. So it's going to be one of those things for D coordinators to, you know, take your best shots. And when you're going to, you better be right, because if he makes you wrong, he's going to punish you.
Yeah, and I'm willing to accept the punishment. I'm willing to be down 21-0 at half in the first game.
I don't think so.
You don't think? That's probably why I'm not a defensive coordinator.
Yes, I'm willing.
I want maybe nobody worries enough about Aaron Rodgers to do that, but at that age, that's my number one job.
I mean, and it depends on the defense too, right? If you're the Cleveland Browns and you have Myles Garrett, do you have to bring pressure to do it, or can he just do it on his own? And those are the things that it's on a per defense basis. I mean, you're not going to bring 6-man pressures against Aaron all day long.
Yep.
I mean, that's
why not?
Because you're going to lose.
Fine.
If I
get him, and this is we're playing 17 games, and so
yeah, but it, yeah, but if you're an NFC team early on in the season and you don't play them again, like what's the point of getting ripped open in the first half 21-0? I mean, you're trying to win games for the NFC, or like for your you're not gonna play them again. Like if you're the Ravens or the Browns or whoever it may be, you're trying to get a win on that day and get out.
Okay.
Like that's what it is. They're not really looking at the long term of the Pittsburgh Steelers, like those three other division opponents. But yeah, I mean, you're going to want to put hits on him so he feels that early on in games. There's no doubt. Now, is that the strategy throughout the entire game?
You know what I would do? I would hire Brian Bulaga as a consultant, of course, in private, because Brian Bulaga would not want to go public with the fact that his job is to figure out the best way to put the maximum amount of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. understanding how quickly he releases the ball. But
yeah, I mean, that's, well, see, now that's part of his game now that wasn't something that he was really interested in doing when I was playing for him. Right? Like, and with him.
You had the exact opposite situation, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what teams did to him when I was playing with them was they would try to rush four, obviously get home with the four-man rush because they knew if they brought five or they brought six and then say he broke containment and got out of the pocket, he was either going to run for 15 yards or chuck it down the field 30 or 40 yards and find someone open. So teams tried to obviously sack and hit him and keep him in the pocket, and then they'd play coverage in behind it and just try to flood zones. So he had to, you know, try to force something in there, which didn't really work because he didn't turn the ball over, but they made him hold the ball. And that stresses out, obviously, the offensive line. That's the stress point in that. Or they would show certain pressure looks, make him, you know, change the protection and do things like that. And then maybe would try to, like Minnesota, Zimmer did it all the time with his pressure package and what he always did to Aaron and the games back and forth that they played throughout a game with pressures and adjustments and things like that. But the thing is, once Aaron got a hold of that, after probably Zimmer's first year with the Vikings, he had it figured out. And then he was able to manipulate the defense. So he was the one playing cat and mouse with them, and it wasn't the other way around. So, and now that he's a little bit older and he's seen everything and he knows everything, now you're taking that risk mid-game. And maybe it'll pay off for a series, and then maybe the rest of the game you keep doing it, you're going to get burned. And I like NFL coaches are just they're the type that they put their hand on the stove and it's hot. They're not gonna do it again. Like that's just how they are. They have their Rolodex of calls. If they got torched on one, that one's scratched off the list. Like we're not doing that again. That didn't work. Or if they try it again and it's not successful, maybe they try it twice.
They don't keep coming, even if feeling like over the course of a game it'll eventually work out. All right.
I mean, if he burns you on it once and say you try it again, and not that he burns you, but it doesn't come off the way you want it to,
All right. You're
not going to go back to the well on it because it could burn you a third time. And that guy doesn't – you're going to give Aaron three shots at pressure looks and certain coverages and the same rotations and looks at it. He's gonna sniff it out by the second time, third time for sure.
All right, enough on Aaron Rodgers because he's no longer the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers and not as big an issue as last year when the Steelers were playing everybody in the NFC North. Now I don't even know which teams. Anybody in the NFC North play Pittsburgh this year? I would assume not, but I don't know. On the other hand, the discussion of Jordan Love. Good, very good, or special? The vote. That'll be our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. The vote from Brian Bulaga next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
There is work to be done. By the way, if you have a question for Brian Bulaga, the Carbless Talk and Text line list is more. 1-800-990-3776. Our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. How would you grade Jordan Love at this point in his career? Good, very good, or special? And now the vote from Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, I'm going to go very good. I'm going to go very good at this point.
Do you want to change that because I said the same thing?
No. Why would I change? Why,
I don't know. Some people.
My opinion. I mean,
figure Matt, if Homer says it, I got to be just going a little too far.
No.
All right.
No, I think he's been very good. I mean, if we just want to look at statistics alone, very good statistics. But I think he's performed well in a lot of big games. And, I said it on the last show. Unfortunately, you know, people will look at that loss against the Bears, and it's always going to be pointed at a certain certain number of people, but he performed well in that game. He played really well in that football game. So you look at playoff type games like that, he performed very well. Obviously, the Eagles game the year prior, nobody played good in that game. That was a disaster.
yes.
So you can't really say that, but then you look at the year prior and the playoff run he made in his first year starting, he played great. So besides the one interception, right? I mean, that was at the end of that 49ers game. So I think he's been very good. I can't say special yet because you need to push your team to certain levels to get that tag as a quarterback, in my opinion, right? Like multiple NFC championship games or consistently arriving there, winning the division is bare minimum. Obviously, Super Bowl appearance, Super Bowl wins, MVPs, things like that. That's what makes quarterbacks in that special tier, in my opinion. So it's not like being very good is a slight. It's just there's certain levels to get the special tier.
It's hard to believe he's played 3 years.
Yeah.
That's it. That's nothing. That's just getting warmed up. That's not even pregame.
Yeah, I mean, that's you look at that. I mean, big pitch, just because he's been there for a while, right? Because he was the understudy of Aaron. You look at the big picture, he's only been starting for 3 years. So, like, there's a ton of time left for him to become that special quarterback. It's just, like I said, there's certain things that need to be accomplished from a team standpoint and an individual standpoint to get that title is special from a quarterback standpoint, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I've said this, and it hasn't been proven wrong. If there's a problem in Green Bay, they've had two of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and they've won only two titles the years in which their defense was the best for that quarterback.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. My assumption is, until I'm proven wrong, that too much is said about the quarterback, because even with one that great, they won zero in feels like 100 years when the defense wasn't either first or second in points given up. And it was the same with Vince Lombardi. That's why he was so good. And as great as they were, MVPs won everything. Granted, Brett Favre got to a second one, but the defense was not nearly as good that year. And in the end, that might have been the difference. So it's never been anything that's been emphasized, probably because they've done a great job at getting quarterbacks. But even with those great quarterbacks, not once.
Yeah,
the defense isn't special. I mean, you don't, if you have to win because of the quarterback in Green Bay, you're not going to win. And it's been that way for, I don't know, at least almost 60 years. You to have something better than the quarterback, or as good as that great quarterback, to win a title. Even get to the Super Bowl. When they got to the Super Bowl, I think in 97, they might have been sixth or seventh in points given up. But
no, you got to have an absolute top-tier defense to get things done. Because, like, I mean, just look at the past Super Bowl winners. I mean, all the defenses have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they've just been outstanding. And, like, the whole point is to get that great quarterback the ball back as soon as possible in great field position and cause turnovers and you know, get a bunch of three and outs on drives where they start back at their 25 and they punt it back to you and you're close to midfield.
There have been some exceptions, but not many.
No.
I mean, granted, Seattle needed the great game against the Rams, but all I'm going to remember about Seattle is that defense. The defense was scary.
No, they're great.
And I don't great even know, defense. I don't know anybody on it. That's which makes you think they might be good for the next few years.
Yeah. They're going to just reload and be good again. Like, I mean, when you have that much talent on defense and that culture, that coach has built, and then obviously with Schneider and everything like that, they're going to continue to be good. And you look at why Denver is going to continue to be in that AFC picture, because their defense is outstanding. It keeps them in games, right? If the offense is struggling, if a team's only scoring 14 points, 17 points, you're always in the game.
Yeah.
Like that's just naturally how it's going to be. So, yeah, I mean, you could have great quarterbacks, and I think people always forget, like, as great as Brady was, and now this isn't taking anything away from Brady, those defenses were always great. They were run by Belichick. They had stud players on them. They were always really good.
He won a few times. I have to go back. He won a few times with the defenses that weren't that good. But I would emphasize that may be, but it's never happened in Green Bay.
No.
Every time that Lombardi won, they were first or second in points given up, other than his final year when they were third. And anybody old enough to remember, they were very fortunate, lucky even, to win the title their last year. They were nowhere near the best team in the NFC. I think it was the Rams and George Allen. But either way, so I don't know. Until proven wrong, I'm going to assume you played there. There can also be something about Green Bay because of its location or the weather or you'd think there'd be maybe 1 year. Well, you had the year, 2011, the great, arguably the greatest offense ever in Green Bay. There may be better numbers, but you lived it. It's hard to believe. You had to think you were going to score a touchdown every time you went on the field.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we did. And that's the hiccup point where if the offense is even off a little bit and the defense can't consistently get that offense the ball back and give them more opportunities and more shots and more things like that, games like that can happen. And all year, essentially, besides the Kansas City game that we lost, I mean, the defense knew we were in cruise control. Like, we're going to go out there and it's 7, maybe 3 almost every time. Like, we're just going to go out there and the scoreboard is going to get higher and higher and higher every time we come back on the sideline. Like, that's just naturally what's going
to
happen.
And then the defense knows the offense of the other team is going to be forced to come from behind and pass.
Yep.
And this isn't a Discount League or Twitter poll question, but as much as people are upset about the Seattle loss, the hardest one for me to accept is how you lost to the Giants. You didn't even win a playoff game. And that said, not to be irritated, but to understand how great that team was. How did the Giants do it? And I know there were certain mistakes, but that was the team where you'd go, even with mistakes, they'll find a way to win. But I can remember discussion during that year, wondering a little bit about the defense.
Yeah.
But,
well,
go ahead.
You know, we played the Giants earlier in the year in New York, and we won by 3.
Yeah, it was pretty close. Yep.
Yeah, it was a tight game. So they played us well. They had a really good team. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl that year. So, like, they had a really good team. It was just that evening, our offense just didn't click in the first half the way it needed to, and we dug ourselves, I think, what, a 21-7 or 21-3 hole or something like that. And the Giants defense was a great pass rushing defense. So they were put in really good situations from a defensive standpoint to just rush the passer.
Right. It came down. They played you twice. They scored, I think, 35 and 37.
Yeah. Yep. And
that's a lot of points.
Yeah. That's a lot of points. And, you know, like I said, if the offense, which we did, we had an off day, that game, and if you can't get off the field and now listen, we put our defense in some bad situations offensively as well, right? Like we put our defense not in great spots from time to time in that game as well. So we have responsibility in
four
that.
Turnovers.
Yeah. So we have responsibility in that, but that's how you lose the game. Offense doesn't play the way it should. Put your defense in bad situations at times. Can't get off the field.
Yeah.
That's the recipe.
I don't know. Is it fair to say, and this is why I bring that up, because I look at this year. The greatness of 2010 was proven early in 2011 when whatever the record was, they showed how good they were in the playoffs and then showed the next year that was the start. It wasn't like it was a fluke because mm-hmm. that was a level of play that you showed. Was the 2011 team the best team you played on, or do you never even think that way?
I think offensively it was the best team that I've been a part of. I mean, the 2014 offense was really good from an overall team standpoint, the Super Bowl team, because of how good the defense was and how opportunistic they were. But I think the best overall team was 14. Was probably 14.
Yeah.
That was probably the best overall team that I was a part of. Now, we were really good in 16 when we rattled off, I think, 8 in a row or 9 in a row to get to the NFC Championship game and lost to Atlanta. Just ran out of steam there, honestly. I thought 19 was a really good team, LaFleur's first year. Obviously, they had a really good team the next year when they got to the NFC Championship against Tampa at home. So there's been really good teams. The 11 was the best offense. It was ridiculous how easy things felt like, and maybe that was a little bit of a lull to sleep because of how easy things were offensively and how just nonchalantly we went up and down the field on teams. Like it just felt like anything we did, it most likely worked. And if it didn't work that play, the next play was gonna work. Like it was a very odd like feeling to have, because the year prior in the Super Bowl, right? Like for the beginning of the year, it was up and down and kind of all around. I mean, we beat Chicago barely to get in. I think we scored 10 points, and then we got into the playoffs and it was like a light bulb turned on and we just started scoring points like all over the place.
Yeah. So, no, but 2011 started in late 2010.
Yeah.
There wasn't, you talk about Eli Manning and like, he was the quarterback in that loss. It was 30-13 with 6.5 minutes to go in that, the loss to the Giants. There, yep. And there was probably some thought that they could still come. Packers could still come back as good as their offense was. But then the problem is, as you stated, the problem becomes the defense. I don't entirely understand this, but we will discuss it in terms of the Packers are favored in 13 of the 17 games. I've never checked that year to year. The follow-up to that from Brian Bulaga next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Giannis needs to get out of Milwaukee. He's 2.5 hours late for plane rides. I haven't heard any story of any player that can come up with anything close to that. Michael Redd, if it was Michael Redd, you never know on Twitter. Did something stay in the locker room? I'm not sure if that does, but I'm not sure. And now we go to Brian Bulaga, the latest, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, the latest anybody ever was, and you don't have to give the name unless you want to, which I know you don't, that anybody was for anything.
Like in meetings in general?
Anything where you went, the hell's going on? Where the hell is? And I don't need the name because I think that it's pretty short, but.
It is short, but we had an offender, not going to say position group. It was offensively.
Okay.
That was doing this constantly.
All right.
Like, and not constantly, but I think one is constantly. Right. I think one is already.
A few times.
Yes,
more than a few times.
Yes, all more right. than a few times.
Yeah.
Just late. Like, walking in. Like, so, like, we always start
and what happened? Did other players say something to him? Or
of course. Of course.
Well, I don't know. Of course. Wow.
Of course.
I need to know other of course.
Like, would walk in and the first thing would be, where the blank were you?
Yeah.
Like that's.
Yes.
Like, that's first thing first. Like, it's not even a.
Right. And I would have asked this, because I know it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. But if it was Aaron Rodgers, I think that somebody would have even said it to him. But I'm making that up. I don't know. That comes up because of the premise that the biggest abuser for the Bucks might have been Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, if he did it a lot, yeah. I think, like, one time,
okay,
like, someone would have done it in, like, jest, right? Like, and
I don't know. You tell me. I can believe it.
Yeah, it would have been, like, in jest, and he would have gotten a hard time. Like, someone who probably would have gave it to him the worst would probably have been, like, John Kuhn. Like, those two were so close. Yeah. That, like,
I don't Kuhn care would, how good you are. I'm smarter than you.
Yeah,
I could, yes. I believe that was John Kuhn's calling.
Yes.
Like, as many times as necessary.
Yes, he would razzle him and do things like that. But, like, it would be in jest, sure. Like, for the one time. And, like, normally guys are, like, you do it once, you're going to get a hard time no matter what. But then guys are just going to make jokes about it, and it's, you know, water under the bridge. You do it twice, now there's, like, problems. Now it's like, all right, like, we were nice the first time. Now it's not going to be so nice. Like, and it's not water under the bridge.
I ask this because and you can read the stories, if Giannis was the one or any player did it that often 2.5 hours late, I mean, I first said to the coach, but I was going to answer, I think it would be the players. I don't know that how good you can be to where somebody doesn't say, what the hell's going on here? Come on.
Yeah,
I mean, how good you are.
I don't know what the report would say.
2.5 hours late, or all these various things, late for this meeting, and then, you know, like, well, they're not going to say anything to you. They didn't find anybody, and I said, it may have been, but I just don't believe it's that bad. I'd like to, because I just don't think that it happens. I just don't think anybody's going to accept that, even if the coach does, the players are going to.
Yeah, no, the players, like, that's, listen, 2 hours is egregious.
Right, like, aren't you going to call somebody? Somebody goes, where the hell is Homer? I don't know.
Yeah.
Call him. We're not waiting here forever. Well, he's not going to be here for an hour. All right, let's go get something to eat. They're going to sit around and,
like,
I don't
we
know.
Thought, like, we thought it was bad when a guy walked in 15 minutes late to the meeting. We were like, what is this? Like,
And that's, like, I want to ask it. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's all the time in college. There's a limit.
Yes. That's anywhere. That's anywhere, especially when you get to the high levels of college and then obviously the professional game, because now you're essentially showing, at least the way I looked at it, if guys walked in that late, it'd be like, nah, not that important to me. Doesn't really matter that much to me.
Selfish piece of what?
Yeah. Yeah, like, glad you showed up on time, but I don't need to show up on time. It's like, what do you mean? Like, we've been here.
Right.
Like, say the meeting starts at 8, and I've been in the building since 6:30. That means you didn't roll out of bed till 8.
What made you come now? Why did you take another half hour? Hey, just wait till noon.
Yeah, show up when we're going out to practice. You should be coming in and then just getting changed and going out. Like,
because I thought with this story out, people from various other, you know, would say, well, yeah, I remember doing this. I don't think anybody can come up with stories like this.
It just didn't happen in Green Bay that often.
Yeah.
Like,
but you had other players, and other stories from other players and other teams where.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it happens more often in other places than it does in others, right? Like, I would imagine a lot of those things get kept in-house, clearly, right? Like, it took this long for whatever reports on Giannis to get out, if those are true. I mean, like, listen, I can't say, like, I'm, like, that closely studied up on Bucks basketball and culture and Giannis and things like that. This doesn't seem like that type of guy.
Right. And I like would say, even if he's horrible, guys don't, there's a limit to how far they will go. Even, I don't know, Jordan or Rodman would probably have been the limit. And I think they just left and say, hey, Dennis, get here on your own. I just don't think.
I think he's the one exception. Like, hey, make sure you just show up when you got to be here.
Right.
Like, you know, like, we know you're probably going
to
be late.
They're not waiting 2.5 hours for him to show up. They're not. I don't know. We'll maybe hear some more. Milwaukee weight loss, I've said before, it hasn't changed. I've lost weight, 25, 26 pounds. I get to 30 whenever I want because I eat less, and I'm happy eating less. That is a weight loss program that works. It's that simple. I'll be happy to tell you in another month, another 2 months. It's not going to change. They've got to figure it out. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com at 262-235-3980. There's no gimmicks, no counting calories, no points, no intense workouts, no prepackaged meals. A system in which you eat less and you're happy eating less. I can tell you my specifics. Yours might be different. People did it long before I started. It works. 262-235-3980. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. I would say this about them or any weight loss program. If you can eat less and be happy doing it, you will lose weight. It's not easy, but it's close, just like people told me before I started. More Brian Bulaga. And haven't even addressed the original topic that I brought, and I was sure someone would bring it up. Nope. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Failure of this show, I take personal responsibility. I'll get to it. Founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business for 130 years, Horicon Bank has helped Wisconsin businesses grow, doing banking differently since 1896. Today, that same local approach is now part of the Milwaukee business community. Yeah, they've been around the state, but now their expertise in commercial lending coming to Milwaukee, bringing decision-making close to the people who matter most, you. Financing requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support real cash flow needs. Because when it comes to commercial lending, which I said, Horicon Bank gets the job done together, doing good for 130 years. I failed with you, and I failed with Brian Bulaga. I thought Bulaga would come up and say, Homer, you didn't mention it? The only thing that matters in the state of Wisconsin, the one thing that everybody needs to know every day. And still,
it's all on me.
When is Miz pitching? When is the Miz pitching again? Do you know?
I would have never guessed that.
The greatest athletic performance in Wisconsin history. There is nobody, even Aaron Rodgers, that ever has been to a point where no one's ever done it before. And throwing a baseball fast, I'm sure when you were growing up, if you could have done anything, it would probably be hit, if you wanted to play a sport, hit the most home runs or throw the ball faster than anybody in the world. He throws the ball faster than any starting pitcher has ever. There's no equal in the history of Wisconsin sports. Nothing. Now, I don't know how long it'll continue. I don't know if he's going to get hurt. Baseball pitchers do. But right now, it is like nothing ever in the history of the state of Wisconsin. And I have failed so terribly that everybody, the first thing, because maybe he's going to pitch tonight. Just to answer your question.
Maybe.
You haven't been sold. I have not sold you on the historic greatness. Never before in the state of Wisconsin has any athlete been as ever as the Miz. A lot of people have been pitching baseball.
Yeah.
Fastest 60 pitches by a starting pitcher. You can't name anybody in the history of the state of Wisconsin that could say no one's ever done it before.
Well, no. Obvious. I mean, no. I mean, I thought you were talking about like the greatest sporting achievements ever in the state of Wisconsin sports. Do you think it's the greatest achievement that he throws the hardest ever?
Do I think it's the greatest achievement? No.
Okay.
But I think to be the fastest pitcher ever is historic.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're the punter that hit the ball the furthest. to throw a baseball faster. If you could do anything in this country, you'd want to be able to dunk from half court or dunk for 12 feet high or hit 500-foot home run or throw the ball faster than anybody else. I don't think there's anything else in sport. Maybe it's different now when kids are younger. I would think kids. They could do anything.
I would say, for me, hit the golf ball 330 yards straight
every
single time. No,
when you were 11 or 12.
Oh, when I was 11 or 12? Yeah, I played baseball. So, like,
what if you could throw faster than any kid had ever thrown in the history of the world?
I mean, that'd be amazing. It'd be great. It'd be fantastic.
And I don't think you would – I think everybody would have want to have hit home runs further than anybody else. I'd rather hit a 500-foot home run than be able to throw it. But fastest starting pitcher in the history of the game of baseball.
Yeah, it's impressive. I'm not saying it's
clearly not. You don't even know when he's pitching next.
No, I
failed
don't.
Terribly.
I don't. I mean, it's still way too early in the baseball season to care that much.
No, because that's just the thing. Now, here's the emphasis. Because I can't make you think it's greater than it is. There is a speed at which you would watch, even though it's early. His just isn't fast enough. 105 or whatever it is. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if it's 110 or 115. But there is a speed in which you would say, I don't care what, if it's the first game of the year, I got to see this kid throw.
Yeah.
So
you're right. You're 100% right on
yeah.
that. Yeah, you're 100% right
well,
on
it may that. Be that say, too many people are pitching close to what he does.
Yeah, but I would say when you're – because, like, what is he maxing at, 105, I believe?
Right, yep.
I think I saw the number on that.
For a starting pitcher, he has the 60 fastest pitches or 59 or 60. Yeah.
Like, I think when you're seeing someone – I think when
one,
I would
– 115.
Yeah, 115. Yeah. I have to see that ball. I have to see that live to see 115 mile an hour baseball getting chucked at a batter.
And a batter go like,
what is that?
Yes, their attitude different. Yeah, see, now there's I will grant you that. I'll the next time I see them is I'll say, hey, Bulaga says you go 115, then he's watching any day of the week. But by the way, the Miz is pitching tomorrow.
Because
he's pitching against the Cubs, but it doesn't matter. When you're the Miz, he could be pitching Little League, and you still want to watch it.
I watched a bunch of – at the time, and I know the Miz throws harder, but, like, I watched Randy Johnson a bunch. Loved watching Randy Johnson pitch because he threw absolute gas. It was coming from a lefty, and it was just like – and how big he was and intimidating looking with the long hair. And like,
right.
I was like, you got to watch that guy
And
pitch.
You know what? The Miz might be the exact same height as Randy Johnson.
Yeah. And he blew up a bird. And he blew up a bird in the middle of the game when he threw a fastball at him.
All right.
Like, that's pretty
impressive
There
is
stuff.
A truth to how much it stands out. And Miz is the fastest ever. But when you watch it, it's not like I would say Nolan Ryan was that way where – it was just different, so much different than everybody else in Randy Johnson. But that doesn't change. Fastest ever. Fisco Autobody, it's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. That's why they're that good. The Fisco's still on the business, so they're still doing the work on the cars. Imagine at what age they started. And that's why they're so good. On Forest Home in Franklin, expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Any damage, Fisco has you covered. Fisco Auto Body and Forest Home in Franklin. And I tell you about them because you go there and you like them. And then eventually you'll think, huh, guess I a homer. I like that too. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. The Green Bay Packers, according to FanDuel, favorite in 13 of their 17 games. And yet it also says there's some sports book that have their winning at over and under at 9.5.
Yeah.
That's a gimme.
I don't understand.
I don't. We'll talk about it next time. I don't understand it either. That's just judging by those numbers. I don't care if it's the Packers. You tell me any team that has an over-under at 9.5 and the odds books say they're going to win the favorite in 13 of the 17 games. I'm taking them. I'm thinking now it might even be as good as Wisconsin over 6.5. I'm against all parlays.
I'm taking Green Bay over. I mean, the one that I use is 10.5.
Yeah, and they said now it's at 9.5 in places.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
You got to take that. I mean, you got to take that. You got to take that action.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. It's just too good. Yeah. And yes. I think you would say it if you pick any. We'll look at the other teams in the NFC North. If anybody else is at 9.5 and Vegas odds say they're favored in 13 games, take them too.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And now, the most important part of the show, NBA basketball. But forget that. Brian Bulaga, when is The Miz pitching next?
Tomorrow.
Thank
tomorrow.
You. Thank you. There's not enough energy there yet, but you at least you tomorrow. I apologize. The day starts. Every show should start with when is The Miz pitching next? You must know because ever deserves some recognition more than I've given it. ESPN NBA. This should be good. OKC in San Antonio. It's a while, though. How long before that starts?
It'll tip off at 7 o'clock. So ESPN Radio, 7 o'clock. Of course. But you got to say the magic two words first of That's what ESPN right. Radio is, and then it'll be NBA basketball.
All right. ESPN National honoring Brian Bulaga in progress.